Welcome to the See You Next Summer podcast. I'm your host, Billy Pollahan, and with me, as always, is the undercover brother to my Lance, Mr. Raul Rodriguez. How are you, buddy?
Undercover brother. Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited to do this movie. I have been waiting for so long to do this, especially because Billy said, this is the last month of the year. We're going to do my favorite comedies.
Oh, yes.
And today, we're going to do a one that Billy has never seen, Undercover Brother.
Nope, released in 2002, starring early 2000s huge comedian Eddie Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
Directed by Malcolm D. Lee, who did the Best Man movies. I think he did Girls Trip.
Yes.
And recently, the Space Jam sequel. So,
ooh,
mixed bag there.
He needed the money.
Until the Best Man's Wedding, which is the last of the trilogy. But he's a predominantly, well, black director, himself being black. And this entire movie is essentially just Black Austin Powers that parodies blaxploitation.
Yes.
And it's great.
It's amazing. It's one of my favorite comedies of all time. I got to see this movie in theaters. And it's weird that the movie's not available on Blu-ray yet. Please, Shout Factory, do it. I'm pretty sure a lot of people will buy it. But yeah, we start the movie, and like you said, the plot is the man, the white man, that he has his shady mountain with the M right there. And he has said technically to destroy black culture. He wants to set the clock back for black people to not get recognized. He even says it in one line, I want the White House to stay white.
So essentially, he's a racist.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, totally not relevant now.
No.
Especially, we can't name the man.
Mm-hmm. It's a Republican Party.
Yeah, fuck it. It's just Republicans.
Yes,
I mean, it really is.
They even make a joke about it. Conspiracy Brothers says, I was like, Smart Brothers says, like, who do you think is going to run for? Republican or Democrat? And I was like,
No. Democrat or independent.
Or independent. I was like, he could be a Republican. Then Conspiracy Brothers, name one thing that the Republican Party has done for us. Well, actually, Lincoln was part of it, and that's how they freed the slaves. I said recently. That's Conspiracy Brothers.
He said, name two things that they have done. But the whole thing is Undercover Brother, that's his name, played by Eddie Griffin. He's got this amazing afro and sideburns, very 70s Shaft look to him. And essentially, he's just Black Robin Hood.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now getting noticed by the organization Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Girl is definitely...
Sister Girl,
played by Ajahnue Ellis, who a lot of good movies, probably Ray, and recently, of course, she did The Help, and a lot of stuff. Oh, Birth of a Nation, that was what it was.
Ooh.
Very controversial movie,
yeah,
to say the least. Well, a lot of controversial movies. But the whole thing is that black culture began to decline in the 80s. And Because the man did it. And there is this four-star army general, Warren Boutwell, played by Billy Dee Williams.
Yes.
Who's being considered to run for president. And he's based on actual Secretary of State, Colin Powell.
Mm-hmm.
And this could be a big thing because, obviously, you get
this
the black
vote. This was before Obama.
This was before Obama, which would happen 6 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is he gets his lackey, Mr. Feather, played by Night at the Roxbury's Chris Kattan.
Or Jed Mosley.
If you're a How I Met Your Mother fan, you definitely know Chris Kattan.
Yes, and so...
Very much a product of the 2000s as well.
Also, he had a really good time on The Middle. I think he was in the first three seasons of The Middle. And then we get introduction that undercover brother technically stumbles into a brotherhood mission of them infiltrating multinational, one of the buildings from the man. And as he, like you said, he's a Robin Hood. He did all of this because he wants to get people low interest loans. And it's not on the nose. We know that about black people don't get loans. They even did it on the
back on the Winter Soldier. Specifically rural neighborhoods.
Uh-huh. They did it on the Marvel show recently too. And not even the Falcon could get a damn loan. And nope. So, and then we get introduction into one of the characters that has one of the best lines in it, one of the best lines in the whole movie, even though he's controversial too as well today. Dave Chappelle.
Well, yes, but this was during the Chappelle show, so he was very much popular.
Yes.
And this was before he completely ruined his reputation by being transphobic.
Yep.
Which we are very clear that we don't tolerate that.
No, we don't. And then one of his first lines was like, with a computer, another idea stolen from the black man. You know, George Washington Carver made a computer out of a peanut. He's the conspiracy brother. And then we get the undercover brother. He gets his mask off and he reveals his afro and he's so laughing. And conspiracy brother's like, oh my God, it's Macy Gray and Porsche of Cyborgs.
And they make like three Macy Gray jokes.
There's a lot of Macy Gray jokes.
And but then again, this was the same 2002? Year that Spider-Man came out, so she was at the height of her powers.
Yes.
And yes, she did dress like that, so it didn't make sense. But screws up the Brotherhood mission, but manages to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a Robin Hood for the hood.
For the hood, yeah. Mm-hmm. Fist in the air,
yeah,
which is the black power symbol. Mm-hmm. Solid. And you see later on the news program that Macy Gray is in custody but was let go due to lack of evidence. There's also Smart Brother, played by Gary Anthony Williams, underrated actor, and the Chief, played by Chai McBride, who is just the stereotypical black chief that yells all the time. I love the photos of black people behind him, and one of them is literally just used for a throwaway joke because Danny Glover with the "I'm getting too old for this shit," and then looks over. A lot of good visual stuff, like the Brotherhood headquarters is underneath a barbershop, of course, and undercover brother drives a pretty awesome Cadillac.
Yeah, Cadillac Coupe de Ville, I think that's the name.
Coupe de Ville, yeah. Mm-hmm. And has a big ass thing, a big gulp, with orange soda, because of course he does. It would either be orange or grape.
Yep.
Those are the only two. If we're going with the stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they definitely go into the stereotype later when the man and his organization mind control the general.
Mm-hmm.
But this is directed by a black man, so it's fine because they're doing it on purpose.
And I think it's based on a comic or animated show from the 90s or like a Rabbit Charlie Chicken sketch. I know about this. I don't have the reference right now, but I know it's based on something.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then we get into the man headquarters or the Republican Party headquarters. And we get the man is giving orders to Mr. Feather, Kiskatan. And I was like, I wonder why it has to stay white. And then Mr. Feather proposes that he has a perfect mind control system. And he found the perfect subject that is going to be the general. And then I love the sister girl. I was like, with the chief, I was like, so you want to hire a Soul Train reject with a Robin Hood complex? That's the man that we need around here. Can you focus on the world, man? It was like, you're going to hire a stranger from the street? Watch me. Get me undercover, brother.
And I just went, oh, you said it. No, they say it quite a few times.
A lot.
I mean, even in the opening, I'm like, said it.
And then as the assistant girl gets to see undercover brother, and I love that undercover brother, he falls to that I'm pretty sure I have seen in many more movies that are like putting the shoes in behind the curtain so people believe that it's the person there, but it's not. Gag.
You deceived me.
You deceived me. And then his sister girl was like, come yourself over. And then undercover was like, I'm pretty sure you didn't cut for undercover, but you cut for
undercover lover. Because he took one look at her, because she is a very beautiful woman. And he was just like, oh, you know, hello. Starts unbuttoning his shirt and she's just like, what are you doing? He's just like, oh, okay. So you're here on business. Yes. So what do you need me for? And then they go to the barbershop and then they go through the, what I like to call the Batcave entrance.
Yes.
And I mean, it's not, there's no fireman pole, but you do get the going through the floor.
The first perspective fall. It's like, what are you doing, woman? Ah! And then she's like, the lights is making it feel like it's longer. And then he sees the barbershop guy. Hi. Oh, okay, guy.
He's like a foot away.
And then he goes, and then the way to get into the Brotherhood is a hand that he has to greet the hand. And
so, of course, he does it the black guy way with, you know, the grabbing the end of the fingers and stuff.
Facing.
You know, the black guy handshake.
Yes. And so then they get in. And I love that the chief is like, oh, you're in big trouble now, undercover brother. Why are you telling me right now reason to fire your sorry ass? And undercover brother, I don't work for you. Shut up!
But you know who does? The intern, Lance, played by Neil Patrick Harris, who is the whitest white bread, speaking of How I Met Your Mother, the whitest white bread guy ever, and it's great. And
I think this even is before Harold Kumar. I don't know the timeline though.
It was one of those that period where Neil Patrick Harris would just do bit parts, but he would absolutely crush it because he is great. And he comes in, and undercover brother is just like, "All right, who just let the white boy in?"
And then he's like, wait, we have to have him as an intern because of affirmative action." And then Neil Patrick Harris like, someone opened the window on this piece. It's going to get racial over here. And then he puts his head was like, what a white bus! What a party!
Yeah, the CD player.
Yes!
Uh-oh. I had one of those too.
And then we get into see the conference of the general. And he's like, and then the smart brother was like, will he be a Democrat or an independent? And then it was like, the chief was like, he could be a Republican. And the conspiracy brother, name one thing that the Republican Party has done for the black people. And then the smart brother, well, actually, Abraham Lincoln was part of the Republican Party and he freed the slaves. I said recently. And then in the conference, they're like, now that I'm retired from the Pentagon, says Billy D. Williams, now I'm going to open a chicken joint. And all of the people in America was like, what the fuck?
They literally are just sitting there with their mouths open, like,
yes,
like, is he serious? He's just like, no, he's like, I'm running a chicken franchise. So it's essentially just KFC.
Yes, but GFC.
GFC, General Fried Chicken.
And then he's like, and what is going to be the, what was like, but don't you think that the black community will be disappointed after they taste my chicken? Surrender, colonel. Here comes the general, sweet potatoes and the general special hot sauce. And then the conspiracy.
Those are all, I mean, and that's all the stereotypical black people food. It's kind of stereotypical for a reason, but it is, I mean, it is true.
Yeah. And then I love conspiracy, bro, when they shut on the TV. You know what? I never trusted the colonel. White people cannot make that chicken with 60 spices and herbs.
Chappelle has the best lines in this movie, and that makes me sad because
the chief, knowing what happened. I know. It was like, the smart brother was like, you're so damn smart. Can you explain what the fuck just happened? It was like, and then he just mumbling. He was like, if I want to hear mumbling something stupid, I will ask this fucking stupid black ass. And then Dave Chappelle.
No, this skinny black idiot. Yeah. Hey. Wait, That's another thing. The running gag is he's always agreeing with people whenever they're walking out of the room. Yes. And then he's just like, wait.
And then,
so now they got to get the general because mm-hmm. they know something's up.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, sister girl and undercover brother, they go, well, undercover.
But first, don't forget that we have to do the cockavision thing.
I'll let you do that.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait, that's true. First, we see the... You're right. We're doing the thing about the golf cart. Yeah, you're right. First, they go to the golf cart.
See, they're doing some recon.
Mm-hmm.
At a white country club, which mm-hmm. those do exist. They, mm-hmm. That is also a stereotype, but it is a true stereotype.
Yeah.
And they... He's like, oh, I am a master of disguise. Scoot over, Dana Carvey. That terrible Master of Disguise movie.
Mm-hmm.
But he's disguised as a Jamaican caddy.
Yes.
And of course the white people are like, oh my gosh, you know, don't look at him, because mm-hmm. he knows that nobody's gonna bother him.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing recon. I love the when he throws the golf ball with the attached to the tee, it ends up being a camera.
And with a Nike symbol.
With the Nike symbol. And then he notices, like, they see, oh, there's Mr. Feather there. And he has the glass of, it looks like brandy, and he's just sitting back and going, ha 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 ha. And because Sister Knight, or no, not Sister Knight.
Sister Girl.
Sorry. I'm thinking of Misty Knight from Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's also based on blaxploitation.
Mm-hmm.
But Sister Girl is explaining who Mr. Feather is, and then Undercover Brother is just like, shit, I'll just take him out now. And she's just like, what are you doing, you idiot? This is a recon mission. And he's like, yeah, but Undercover Brother doesn't do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. And then, but also, before this scene, I totally forgot the cinematic moment of Chris Kattan going through the radio.
Him just, it's up there with Tropic Thunder.
Yes. This was my Tropic Thunder before Tom Cruise in that scene. With
Chris Which Kattan. That has another thing with portraying stereotypical black people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And so Chris Kattan, he's like going through the radio, and then Family Affair from Mary J. Blige. And got back going in this necessary. And he's just doing the worst white boy dance he never made.
Oh, and that's a joke with Mr. Feather as well. He's trying not to, quote unquote, go black.
Yeah.
And saying stuff because he's like, he's smacking himself. He's just like, what are you doing? Stop it. You can't help but quote their jive and all that stuff. And it's like, oh, yeah. No. Mm-hmm. If this was made by a white guy, this would be incredibly racist.
And also, a Whiskey Pot joke that I'm like, when Undercover Brother sounds like, actually, so the man has been destroying a lot of our culture for so long. So that's why the NBA added 3-point rule to give white boys a chance. And the entertainment industry really is getting out to get Spike Lee. Even Cher got an Oscar. Cher! And OJ really didn't do it. And no one reacts.
Oh, I forgot.
Oh my god.
I didn't forget about the OJ joke.
And also another one that I was like before the golf scene. I was like, on the cover was with conspiracy, but I was like, actually, just calm down, go and watch a movie. When will I watch a movie? A movie where the black man teaches white people how about shrimp industry, and then they kill him 30 minutes into the movie?
Joke behind that is that Dave Chappelle turned down Bubba.
Yes.
In for Forrest Gump. So
I did not know that.
That's the meta-ness of it.
And then I was like, what are you walking the tunnel, black man? Hey, black man, turn on the generator. There's dinosaurs out there. Oh, black man, look out. He has a gun. And then there was
I was surprised he didn't say, hey, black man, why don't you go drive Miss Daisy?
They make a John Singleton joke about that.
They do make a John Singleton joke about that. And John Singleton directed Boys in the Hood. Mm-hmm. So that just shows you. Also, very underrated director. Very good.
And
rest in peace, man.
and the Teddy the Chappelle thing that he got shot. Oh God, I got shot. I shit on myself, and no one picks him up.
He's just sitting there. He's just lying on the floor, and he's just,
and
like,
then,
"Is Smug, anybody gonna get me?"
And this
Kevin Hart Smug, definitely stole like the way he delivers lines from Dave Chappelle.
Yes,
definitely.
And then Smart Brother makes a lot of like add-ons to Undercover Brother's outfit and his shoes and his car. And Sister Girl makes, I told you this joke before you saw the movie. Big car, big hair, big necklace. Someone is really overcompensating. First of all, you forgot about my big black fuzzy balls. And then he's showing the eight balls hanging by the mirror.
What kills it is the face he makes.
Yes. Yeah, and now we get into the golf scene.
Oh, now we go into the... Oh, yeah, the Chris golf carts.
Yeah,
the Chris Kattan fight.
The first one.
Because they're getting chased by... he finds him.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to fight him, but he's like throwing stuff at him. He's just like, stop, he's stealing stuff from me. And then I love that he throws some $100 bills and Undercover Brother just keeps it.
Yeah, love, I got that.
And when I watched that, I was just like, smart man. Yeah. He's just like, hey, give that back. And how he gets so there's some guys that are pointing guns at him, and so he sticks him to the wall with the
brushes.
What are those called? The combs.
The combs, yeah.
Like the Afro combs.
Yeah.
He uses them as like throwing knives.
And they're literal Chekhov's guns, though, because they're gonna come back later.
They do. And then Sister Girl comes, and she always has this thing where she does the backhanded fist to the face.
Mm-hmm.
That's her signature move.
That's her Black Widow move.
They go outside and there's the security and the golf cart, and then we get the greatest car chase since the French Connection or Bullet.
Yeah,
where it's this intense chase, and then it cuts to a wide shot and them at their actual speed.
Yes.
All the old people on the scooters
flipping them off.
Yeah, and just like, oh no, they're gaining on us. He throws a bunch of golf tees,
mm-hmm.
and it pops the tires, and they're going to this propane line.
Yeah.
And they're like,
ah.
And they stop just before, but then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, boom! They fucking explode. The timing is the thing that crushes it.
Mm-hmm. And then they get trapped into a corner. And it was like, Mandekar was like, we need some altitude. And then he gets those damn boots that they go Iron Man style, but it's not just old platform. And I'm like, I want those fucking shoes. Oh, they just look so cool. And then they go back into... They go back into the Brotherhood, and then Chief is like, the only way to know about the men is because we have to infiltrate a multinational. And I was like, this is going to be the most hardest mission for you on the car, but you will have to infiltrate as a tight, bad-toothed white man with a 401k plan and a country club membership. And then,
Jordan Peele.
Yeah. And then Smart Brother gives Undercover Brother a sandwich. I was like, oh, God, you knew that I was hungry. What the fuck? You want to kill me? I was like, if you want to pass by white people, you have to like mayonnaise. But it tastes awful. Okay, hear this button on your clock. It will give a sprinkle hot sauce. And I'm like, I even have hot sauce right here on my office. God damn it.
Yeah. But I mean, also, you're Mexican. You drink hot sauce like it's like water.
Yes.
So... That's not an incredibly racist thing. You admit it.
And then we get into, I told Billy before he saw the movie, there's a Clockwork Orange kind of joke that I was like,
yes,
tease him about it.
What vision was it?
Cock-a-vision.
Cock-a-vision. So it's all the white people stuff. And it's...
They should see someone in She Wrote, Leave It to Beaver, people dancing polka, a lot of 50s like values of family.
Well, the 50s, which was like the nuclear family age, and that was definitely the whitest age for sure.
And then he's like, no, please stop. I see white people, Caucasian overload. I was like, that was too much white for one brother to take. And this my brother, I call an expert on white culture. And then Neil Patrick Harris has this fucking epic entrance with the, it sounded like the Millionaire theme song. Like, who wants to be a millionaire?
Yeah. And I love how he just nonchalantly just walks in like, hey, guys, what's
and
up?
Then, and then he's here? Like, in season 3 of Friends, what object of Julius did Ross see on his bedside table the night that he kissed Rachel? And then the Coyote brother, her saline solution, he's ready. And then the Coyote brother is already.
Also, that is correct. Mm-hmm. For any Friends fans out there.
Yeah, and then he walks in into multinational, all dressed up as his new identity, Anton Jackson. And then he's in the tobacco division. And I was like, your product is small, pale, a little limp on the size, inadequate.
And then he starts talking like this.
Like you that. Know,
like the very, very much like Urkel.
Yeah.
There are some black guys I know that do talk like that. So it was very funny.
Yeah, and like, how many people will smoke that? Not a lot of people. I was like, let me present you the fatty.
And it is this big ass fucking cigarette. And it's the whole thing is obviously. And of course, one of the executives is a white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one's a white guy. And he's just like, you know, it's not that bad. But then he brings out the fatty and he's just like, he could smoke that all day.
A long lasting pleasure to be joy. Again and again. And again. She's like, ah.
Sorry.
And then.
And then he infiltrates the computer room.
The thing with the window. There's that chun chun, chun 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 chun. And then he brings the whole thing.
Puss in Boots, eat your heart out.
Yeah, and then.
Or Mission Impossible, eat your heart out.
I love that he had a mini disc. I totally forgot about that. He puts
that's in the boot. Platforms?
Yes, in his platforms. And then. And I was like, and then Chris Kattan was like, oh my God, so one infiltrate multinational. I recognize that afro everywhere. I was like, it's time to release our secret weapon, black man's kryptonite. And then we get Denise Richards, I want to be bad, make it look so good. Working with her beautiful pink dress, with her Elle Woods kind of like glasses.
It's very Elle Woods.
Yes.
I mean, also. Is it black man's kryptonite? I mean, there's the Blazing Saddles joke. Hey, where are all the white women at? So you tell me.
And then she stumbles into undercover brother. She's like, I'm Penelope Snow. I just moved here to the big city with hopes and dreams. I need a friend. Will you be my friend, Anton? And then she, of course, and the car is already smitten and possessed by
Denise Richards. Oh, and then she starts corrupting him because mm-hmm. they go to lunch and she puts a ridiculous amount of mayonnaise on the sandwich.
Which is like, he doesn't.
He doesn't have the chance to spray the hot sauce on mm-hmm. there. And it's disgusting, even for me.
Even the sound was like,
yeah.
Like how it sounds.
That wasn't mayonnaise, by the way. We'll just call it that.
And then he's already corrupted.
But I mean, she is a woman, so I mean, it's not like she's mm-hmm. not used to that already. Oh.
And then undercover
brothers. They do all the stereotypical white things.
Yes, it was like they Banana Republic. And then Sister Girl is one of the cashiers. Like, when you go undercover, you do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter how good it felt. So you're having sex with a white girl? It
was like, if it's Denise Richards, hell yeah.
And then we get into the General's fried chicken.
Oh, no. Don't forget, they do karaoke.
Yeah, the karaoke.
And they're singing Ebony and Ivory.
Yes.
Because if you don't know what that song is about, it's, you know, Ebony and Ivory, white and black,
mm-hmm.
together in perfect harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Not a bad song, but it's very white.
Yeah. And then we get into the general, it was like, I want you to buy my new chicken. I used to work for the parent, but now you can buy an 8-piece meal and get a 32 ounces free malt liquor, absolutely free. And you'll be buying, General's fried chicken.
And you get the animated
Billy Dee commercial. Williams, my chicken is the bomb.
Boom. And you see that they even have a bucket of chicken in there. So, because, you know, the stereotype of the fried chicken and the black man.
Mm-hmm. And then, but
what are the odds?
On the cover, brother walks in with a polo, a scarf.
No, not a polo, a corduroy.
Ah, corduroy, sorry.
Because then...
with a smoothie.
Yes, with a smoothie. And white she-devil, as she is now been known, she's actually an assassin for the man, has corrupted him. And Sister Girl is undercover as an employee at this, I guess, this Banana Republic. And Banana I love Republic. That she's just like, oh, man, well, we can find some turtlenecks at Eddie Bauer. And I just was like, God damn it.
But then he's like, he's on the Brotherhood. He's also like,
oh, yeah, and he starts saying some ridiculous euphemisms as well.
And then he was like, and I was like, what happened to you on the cover, brother? And Sister Girl, he has sex with a white girl. That's it. Oh, my God. And then, like, the Chappelle and the Chief, I was like, is that so good? Is it,
yeah, true? Yeah. All the guys are just like, hey, man, good for you. And they're like, hey, it's okay.
And then the Chappelle was like, no, he's corrupted. And then he pulls a shotgun. Don't look at it, honey. I'll kill him right now. And then on the cover, brother was like, I'll put away my guava mango broccoli smoothie. That's so LA. I put my foot in your patootie.
Did he just say he would put his foot up my patootie?
Patootie. And then the camera was like, I must be going. Frasier is on. And then you hear the Frasier music.
Frasier theme. Which I love that as well. I laughed hard because I know how much you love Frasier.
And then I was like, and then the chief was like, wow, no man can resist small interest loans. And Neil Patrick Harris, when a black man does well, so he's with a white chick, you think that he's so loud? That's enough, Lance. And then Lance was like, always shutting up the white man down.
But then we learn how he got the general to act this way, because a smart brother explains there's a mind control drug that could be easily distributed. And they're just like, what could possibly
be?
What could it possibly be?
It's the chicken.
The chicken. And then as Conspiracy Brother is eating, he spits out the chicken, of course, and makes them act white. And it would be a crushing blow to the African-American culture.
And the operation is called Whitewash.
Oh, yeah. Operation Whitewash. And then, so Sister Girl comes
to save him
at that amazing apartment. And then... What proceeds is an awesome fight scene and my favorite scene in the movie.
Please describe it.
As Sister Girl and White She-Devil are fighting, they are gradually taking each other's bits and pieces of their clothes off. Not too much where it's gratuitous, but Undercover Brother and the two henchmen, you get one of them that has the 80s ponytail, like Steven Seagal looking dude, and the other one is just generic henchman. Mm-hmm. And they're both white, and he starts pulling up the chairs and stuff, gets a bag of Doritos, some beers, and they just start watching that cat fight. And then they end up in a shower, and then it turns to a L'Oreal/Victoria's Secret commercial. And it's just great. It's cinema.
I was
like, the guys, they're just like, yeah. They're having a great time.
And then, of course, we get into the car chase now. On the car, brother, he's already awoken from his wife's
spell. Don't forget, he tried to get out of the window, but he didn't have the platforms on. He had the...
those horrible shoes.
Oh, God. What are those shoes called again? Oh,
God. I used to know this. Dunkaroos or something? Fuck.
Gosh. It's not coming to my mind. But,
fucking white old man shoes.
I have those shoes, so... I should know this.
Sorry.
It's the dress shoes, but And my grandpa has those shoes. He wears them all the time. But I'm blanking on the name. Should hand my white card back.
Okay, and then we get into the car chase. And then I love that there was like a, come on, Florid! Honey, this car was made in the 70s! And they're getting chased by the motorcycles and watching demo. And I know that the cop brother throws an 8-track to one of the henchmen.
Right in the helmet, too.
Yes.
And then the motorcycle blows up.
Mm-hmm. And then the chase stops. I was like, and then Washi Devil has them at gunpoint. I was sent to destroy, and the Brotherhood stands for. And then she shoots the henchman. But falling in love wasn't part of the plan. And then she goes on the cover brother. Oh, and the cover brother, you're too much man for me. And the cover brother, I'm too much man for myself. Solid.
I love how he also just keeps touching his afro.
Mm-hmm.
That's another stereotypical thing that afro is amazing.
And then Operation Whitewash goes global. JC is throwing Lawrence Welk's greatest hit. John Singleton to remake Driving Miss Daisy. Terry McMillan, how Stella got her white man back.
Oh my gosh. Brilliant. Just brilliant.
And then, of course, we see that they're in the Brotherhood, and then Neil Patrick Harris walks in into the scene. He's like, I want to help you also to stop the man, especially because fellow
brothers. Oh, no. Remember when they bring her in and literally everybody pulls out a gun? Everybody has a gun.
Yes.
And pulls it out and has it on White She Devil. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, no, she's cool. She's cool. She'll help us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they did, again, the Blazing Saddles thing,
mm-hmm.
where he was so good at being a lover that, you know, the once you go black, you never go back thing.
And then Achievement says, once you go undercover, brother, there is no other. And then Chappelle was like, are you trying to say when you go black, you never go back?
I mean, there's also Black Don't Crack. So there's that other. Is it true? I'm not going to disagree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's some people that definitely, let's just say black don't crack. Mm-hmm. It's for some people.
And then Neil Patrick Harris, like our fellow brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that I saw this TV show Roots. He told me a lesson about bigotry. I was like, I want to march down that field of oppression and kick that ball of bigotry in the goal of tolerance. And then the chief, you know what? You talk about a lot of crap. But I dig it. You're in too. And then Dave Chappelle, what? I went for 6 years to spy school. I'm still paying for it.
I'm still paying my loans. And you give it to this white bitch.
And then they find out that the next target of Operation Whitewash is James Brown. And then Neil Patrick
Harris. Yeah, because White She Devil has a list of people that they're targeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens? The actual James Brown makes a cameo in this movie.
Yes.
And it's great.
And he's right there next to Neil Patrick Harris on a limousine, and he's playing his bodyguard. But then Neil Patrick Harris forgets about James Brown, and then James Brown gets kidnapped by Chris Kattan. And I was like, hey, James, now I feel good, says Chris Kattan. And then I love... Then it was like Neil Patrick was like, I feel so bad, I fail. And then Conspiracy Bro was like, just shut up, take this, and he gives her a big ass bag of weed.
I mean, again, all these stereotypes and jokes, they're great.
And also, it technically also goes with Neil Patrick Harris that he was always on, I think he was on cocaine, LSD, and also marijuana in the Kumar movies, in the Harold and Kumar trilogy.
Oh, no, he gets all fucked up in those movies.
He gets all of them.
Or maybe it's the same character that's just being...
we don't know.
In the same universe. We don't know. Universe? It's the same style of comedy. Mm-hmm. So it could definitely... Undercover Brother and Harold and Kumar are in the same universe. We're just going to... a conspiracy that Conspiracy Brother would be proud of.
Yes, he will. And then, of course, we see that Chris Kattan, he's ready. He's like James Brown... Any last requests? And then James Brown's like, say it loud. Say it loud. And then Chris Kattan is just like twitching, like he wants to move. He was like, say it loud. Oh, I'm black and I'm proud, says Chris Kattan. I was like, wow, you didn't even let me do my thing. And then James Brown gets a zipper and he takes out the whole outfit and he's on the cover, brother. Hey!
Mission Impossible style.
Mission Impossible style.
I also loved, also just to one of the gags from the fight at White She Devil's place. When he crashes through the window, he changes into an all black 70s outfit.
Oh, blue.
Oh, no, no, that was the blue. No, here it's the all black.
Yes.
But it changes when he's crashing down,
mm-hmm.
like Superman style, but you don't see it. It's just when you see him start to crash, the outfit's already changed.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell that there was a cut there.
Yeah, and the Brotherhood is already also infiltrating the man's mountain. And they're in the communication rooms, and Neil Patrick Harris is so stoned out of his mind. He's like, this isn't Taco Bell.
Very, very. It's actually now his Gen Z response. So maybe it was ahead of its time. Oh, yeah. And the man, you never see his face.
We never.
He's like Dr. Claw. You just never. You never see his face.
It's also like the bus from George in Seinfeld.
Yes, or Charlie from Charlie's Angels. Although that was just a voice.
Mm-hmm.
But still, very much in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
The shadowy organization.
Yeah, and then we see that Mr. Feather steals the Undercover Brothers medallion. It was like something to remember you by.
We never established that the medallion is something his dad gave him, so he can always remember who he is.
And his funky way.
Yeah, and he's always doing, like, the, you know, the Black Power fist,
mm-hmm.
and he's going solid.
Yeah. And then in the communication room, then it was like, and then Sister Girl and White She Devil, they have a joint fight. And they fight all of the other guards. And then the general is about to kill Undercover Brother, but then at the end, they give him the antidote, and Neil Patrick Harris... He was like, oh my god, we're all gonna die because Conspiracy Brother activated the atomic core of the
Yeah,
of the
just
mountain.
Out of spite, because he's just like, I wonder what this button does. Touch. We'll self-destruct. That's my bad, guys. It's my bad.
And then Neil Patrick gets slapped. I was like, are you ready to play some fucking music? Well, funky music, white boy. Lay down the boogie. And then we get into Eddie Griffin chasing Chris Kattan, but then we get into the scene that I wanted Billy to watch the most. Neil Patrick Harris, big scene in the whole movie.
Oh my gosh, when he just, he gets triggered.
Yeah,
and then...
because three people, he's like, with three girls, I was like, no, General, let me speak to them, I'm white. I was like, we don't want any trouble. What are you going to do about it, sissy? And he's like, don't call me a sissy! And then he starts like, oh my god.
He rips out the heart of one of them. He rips out the spine of another one. And then he bashes the head of the other guy. And there's like green liquid out. But it's like when you crush a soda can.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, oh, ah. And then he's just like, you shouldn't have called me a sissy.
And then we get into the dance fight scene of Chris Kattan versus Eddie Griffin for Beat It. That was the first time I ever heard Beat It by Michael Jackson when I saw this in
Really?
Theaters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the soundtrack is all the stereotypical black guy soundtrack stuff. But it's great. They're catchy music. So.
And after fighting, Mr. Feather has kind of like some daggers getting out of his wrist. And that's the way that he's fighting. And between all of the moves, he cuts part of the afro of Eddie Griffin.
And he shouldn't have done that.
He should not have done that. And then Undercover Brother does that thing with the nunchucks, or like showing them off, and then he fucks with his balls. But it was a move to play on.
Oh,
Mr.
when he
Feather.
Accidentally nunchucks, gets the nunchuck to his nuts.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. The reason why he's so upset as well, aside from that, it ruins the afro. Hair for black people is a lot different than mm-hmm. hair for everybody else. There's a big cultural thing for mm-hmm. them. So that's the context behind that. But yeah, he ends up using the chains of the nunchuck to tie his hands together,
mm-hmm.
starts beating the crap out of him, and then...
The man arrives
in a helicopter. because of course it's a black helicopter. The irony that he's in a black helicopter and should not be lost.
And then Chris Kattan jumps in, gets into the rail. It was like, oh, I already won.
Because he was like, he's failed me. Just go
leave
up.
Leave him.
Leave him.
And then as he's still in the rail of the helicopter, still going in, Eddie Griffin throws those hair combs, right there into his ass. And Chris Kattan drops but to the sea, and a shark was already waiting for him. I'm like, this is a meme.
Shark comes out of nowhere.
This was made for me. It was like,
it just eats him. As the man is just like,
and
man,
gonna,
fool. Fool like, played himself.
That sucker. And then I'm like, I want to quote Chris Tucker in Rush Hour 2. He will not be back for Rush Hour 3. He will not be back for The Coen Brother 2.
Clean yourself up, man. You did. Oh, and then as Undercover Brother, because everything's blowing up, he dives off 70s style, but he doesn't have a parachute. But what he does have, he's got parachute pants.
Yes!
Literally.
It's amazing. And
it's great. I love how he just now slowly starts falling down. That's not how parachute pants work, but it's funny. And then he just takes them off, and they're the exact same pants that he has on. And we saw there's a little flirt thing with him and Sister Girl throughout the entire movie. Yeah. And, of course, there's a boat waiting. And he's just like, behind every great black man, there is...
a cop. Probable cause. Cute butt, says Denise Richards. No, a strong black woman.
And then
the
it's
chief
like,
says that we're all, I'm all proud of you. And then they just go into the boat.
And then it ends with him driving the Cadillac down the street. Doing the 360, multiple 360 spin with the big gulp,
Yes.
And the orange soda inside. And that's how the movie ends. So that was Undercover Brother.
I was
surprised by this movie. It's very of its time. But I had a blast watching this. It was a good palate cleanser from Stephen King month.
Yes.
Although watching Maximum Overdrive to Undercover Brother was definitely quite the experience.
Yes.
I had fun. I think these last now three movies for the rest of the year, it's going to be fun.
Yes.
Two of them I have seen before. One I haven't seen in many, many years. And the last one, which will be our last show of the year, is something that is long overdue in my case.
And I cannot believe that from your generation specifically that you haven't seen this.
It's one of the most popular movies ever. One of the most popular comedies. But thoughts on Undercover Brother?
I have seen this movie maybe like 30 times. And for me, it still holds up. It makes me laugh every single damn time. I can quote a lot of it. Like I said, I have Family Affair on my playlist for the last 15 years. And every time I hear that song, I imagine I see Chris Kattan dancing. I don't see anything else. And this movie is like, there's so many things. Like in 2002 specifically, I got to see the first Charlie's Angels movie and then Undercover Brother. And I was starting to discover that I love a lot of things from 70s culture, specifically music. That's why I also got a lot of movies. Because
he's also a big fan of disco, even though disco is dead. It's dead. Let the past die.
No!
Kill it.
No!
If you have to. Disco is dead.
No, it's not, goddammit.
Yes, it is. But he does love disco.
And ABBA, too.
And I actually love ABBA as well. I know, surprising the white boy.
The Mamma Mia is coming. I'm just gonna tease it. Mamma Mia
Disco
is coming.
Disco girl.
Occupy.
If you've never seen Gravity Falls, that's the joke.
Russian sensation Wabba?
No, Icelandic pop group Baba.
Thank you, Baba.
Instead of the actual Swedish pop group, ABBA.
Yep.
That is a love 'em or hate 'em thing. So if you hate them, you're really going
to
hate them.
I don't have to say a rating. I'm pretty sure it's predictable. This is
well,
a
for
11.
You. Yeah, it's an 11. For me, I'm gonna give this a 8.5. I had a lot of good. There's a lot of jokes I didn't expect. I mean, obviously, yeah, the whole thing is race, but just the delivery of everybody. Everyone looked like they had a great time making it. I had fun with it. Just, I know comedy is subjective.
Yep.
But it's also incredibly easy to make me laugh. So this is probably going to be a very easy month for me. I mean, in terms of movie, it's pretty standard.
Yeah.
But in terms of comedy, I'd say up there with Austin Powers.
It has great production value too, though.
It does.
Like,
it does.
It was made with heart. Amazing, the color, the cinematography. Like, yes, like. You could wish that maybe you have more, like, some more context of the Brotherhood and the undercover brother, like his past.
Also, what does Brotherhood stand for? Like, it's an acronym.
It,
like,
says Truth and Justice for the American Afro.
No, that's their slogan. That's the thing. But we don't know the acronym. It just spells Brotherhood.
They never reveal it.
I'm more interested. I mean, that's a lot of letters. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be some acronym.
Yeah, but this movie still, for me, still holds up. It's amazing. Maybe for some people it won't, but I know, like you said, comedy is subjective. So I'm also hoping that this movie still gets, like, a bigger cult following.
Yeah, and until then, you know what? What are we doing next week? We're going to go from, we're going to go to a Will Ferrell movie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It's one of the best comedies of the 2000s. Because
one of his most popular films.
One of his most popular films. Not only that, I think this is one of the last good comedies that has been going on in the last 20 years. Anchorman.
Well, it was during the period where just, like, the early 2000s and... or
by
the
2010,
early,
yeah.
Like from the 90s to the 2000s to the 2010s, comedies were just great.
Yeah.
Like, they were hitting it out of the park. I mean, there's still, every once in a while, you do get a good comedy now, but it was not like back then where you just got hit after hit after hit after hit.
Mm-hmm.
And this was before the Frat Pack. This is just before that, you know, the whole Judd Apatow
era. Yeah, this is before the Judd Apatow era, because
yeah, this
even
was,
Judd Apatow
this was
has
when
a
Will
small role in this movie.
He does, and but this is... Will Ferrell at his absolute peak. This was after Elf. This was after he left Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started making amazing movies. Just great movies. And Anchorman is one of them. From one mustache man to another. But until then, where can the good people find you on the interwebs, my brother?
Baxter, bark twice if you're in Utah. Burr, burr.
We'll get to that next week.
Next week, but you can find me as always at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on Letterboxd at RobertRDC. Please follow the podcast on SYNSPod on Twitter. And please give us a nice review on Apple, Spotify, Google, and the other ones that you believe.
Solid. So you can follow me on Twitter and Letterboxd at MasterOfPuns196. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also... follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, you can follow our main show Twitter at SYNSPod and give us a 5-star and just write a review on Apple Podcasts, as well as listen to us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, wherever podcasts are listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Undercover, undercover brother, yeah.